Let's stand, please. Thank you, Rhonda, for that beautiful song. It's scripture being fulfilled there in music, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Appreciate that. Beautiful song. Take your Bible, if you're standing, please. I want you to go to the book of Romans, chapter number 15. I'm going to have you look at three different verses today. So keep your Bible ready because we're going to move just in three verses here. Okay? Romans chapter 15. I want you to look at verse 5 and verse 6. Romans 15, verse 5, starting with it. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the key there is glorify God. Now I want you to take your Bible, go to the right about three or four pages to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, looking at verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Again, the key, glorify God. Now go to the right about three pages to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. And look at verse number 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for the beautiful, beautiful day that you've blessed us with. Lord, we thank you for this season as we see the promise of springtime and all of that and the warmer temperatures. And Lord, we're thankful for those. But Father, most of all, we're thankful for your word, that we have it in our hands, that we can read it. And Lord, that we can be involved in the very word of God that we see here to glorify you. I thank you for the scripture being in song this morning that Rhonda sang, and what a glorious day that will be. And so, Father, we are blessed, so blessed. And so, Father, we praise you in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And I want to talk today about the term glorifying God. Now, I'm going to start out with some of you may know this. Some of you who have traveled to Europe have maybe seen the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Certainly you've seen it, Rob and Debbie. Did you go up in it? You didn't go up in it. They still allow, I think, Brendan, Jody, do you see the Leaning Tower of Pisa? You people that are world travelers and all. Has anyone else seen it other than these four? Okay. Elva, you've seen it. What was your impression of it? Just by chance, what was your impression of it?
It exceeded what I thought it would be. It was pretty awesome.
It was pretty awesome, okay. Do any of you remember how long it took to build that tower? It took 200 years. 200 years to build the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And the thing is, it's interesting, and they're still working on it. You know why they're working on it? They're trying to make sure that it doesn't fall over, okay? Now, it's gone through several earthquakes, and yet it still stands. And it still stands, and they even the flaw of construction, and
Well, Frank, you're a construction engineer, so to speak. And so, you know, whenever you build something, what's the most important part? The foundation, isn't it? You don't start with the roof and then build the house down or whatever. You start with the foundation. Well, the flaw of that tower is the foundation. And so it's leaning, and so because of that. But we rarely see buildings today with flaws like that because of the structure of it. How many of you knew that this week there was an earthquake that hit, what was it, New Jersey and New York, and a 4.8 earthquake, and it shook. And then as soon as it happened, the Eiffel Tower, no, wasn't the Eiffel Tower. What's the big tall building in New York? Empire State Building. it's an old age thing. It's an old age thing. Now, I'm in Europe. The Eiffel Tower is there in Europe. Okay, Paris or wherever. But anyway, I have not traveled the world over. But anyway, there came a report from New York that, hey, our tower's fine. Our tower's fine. Now, I want to tell you something. When I was 10 years old, we took a youth group, and I was part of the youth group, to Chicago, and we went up into a church in Chicago, and Cindy, you might remember this, but anyway, we were up 500 feet, and the church was at the top of this building. And I remember, as my dad was there with me, and my mom too, but I went over and just looked out the window, and I was 10 years old, and I thought, there's no way in the world. There's no way in the world. And I had to step back because I didn't want to get close to the window because I'm scared of heights, very scared of heights. And so, you know, when you get to talking about that, but I thought, I don't want to be up on a tall building with an earthquake. I don't want to be up on these skyscrapers and all of that with an earthquake. The Sears Tower and all of that. Don't get me up there. Why? Because I know humanity has never, ever done anything except make mistakes. We've never built a perfect building yet. But I want to talk this morning about the perfect building. It's the perfect building of the church of Jesus Christ. It's the body of Christ, but it cannot function and it will not last unless we understand the very purpose of the church and the very foundation of Christianity, and the church is Jesus Christ. We have just gone through, like I mentioned, Resurrection Sunday and the celebration and all of that. And it should have really affected our lives more each and every time we celebrate that season. It should do something for us and to us. And so I want to just talk, why does the church today exist? Why does the church today exist? God is building his church. I remember one of the missionaries that we supported many, many, many years was David Green in South Africa. And his main thought was God is still building his church. God is still building his church. And he's working on that church as we even stand here today. I think there will probably be people around the world somewhere, sometime this day, give their heart and life to Jesus Christ because God is in the business of still building his church. And so the purpose, I believe, is what we see here in those three verses that we read, is to glorify God. That is the purpose of the New Testament church of Jesus Christ, is to glorify God. Now, what does the term glorify mean? It means to magnify or to build up or to make evident to everybody about the magnificence of our God. That's what the church is for. And we glorify God when, and I just want to talk about that this morning, about glorifying God. How is it that we glorify God today? In the church, or our church, or in your life. And I'll just give us some things today about glorifying God. First, we glorify God when the Savior, Jesus Christ, is magnified in our lives. John 3:30 says this. When, remember, John the Baptist, he said this about himself. He said, "I must decrease, but he must increase." I believe in the day and age in which we live, we better increase Jesus Christ more and more and more and more. I find today that the church has become anemic. I'm talking about Christianity in America has become anemic because of the lack of glorifying the very foundation of our churches. Building Jesus up and everything else decreases in importance. Why? Because he's the one who's in charge. He's the power behind the church. John had many disciples and he said, "It's not about me. It's about him. I've got to decrease, but he must increase." You know, in our church, we have many ministries. And in churches, there are many, many ministries. But every one of those ministries better be and have the very focus of glorifying Jesus Christ, glorifying God. We have our preschool. And what's the focus of it? Is it to teach the little kids the ABCs and the numbers and all of that and how they can stand in line? No, that's not the real focus. The real focus is to reach little ones and let them hear about Jesus Christ. You know, there's families that come to preschool and have come, and we've had preschool for the last 10 years now, and there's some of the families that have never even heard. Those little kids have never heard about Jesus. They've never heard about Daniel in the lion's den. They've never heard about Jonah and the big fish. They've never heard these. They've never heard Jesus except a cuss word. You know, that's sad. But our main focus is to present him. And it's our purpose to glorify God. And we have ministries. That's what the Awana is about. Awana. It's not about fun and games and all of that and getting together and having a youth group. It's to glorify Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And that ought to be our main focus. You know, we have a name out on front on our marquee out front, Bridgeton Baptist Church. But if somebody drove by, what would they say? What would they say we believe? What would they say? That's the reason we put things on the marquee. Different things. Different messages. Why? Because it's what we believe about Jesus Christ. And our main focus today, we glorify God when we glorify God's Son. You know what Philippians chapter 2 says. One of these days, every knee is going to bow. And every tongue or every mouth is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? To the glory of God the Father. Why? Because God the Father sent him. Sent his own Son into the world. Number two this morning. I believe God is glorified when self is minimized. Self. It's not about you or it's not about me, is it? I know we're Christians, but I'm going to just say this today. I'm preaching to believers today.
We're Christians, but it isn't about us. It's about the one who lives his life in and through us, isn't it? It's about him who gave us life. And because of him, we have life. And so it's not about you or it's about me. And so who do people see in us today? Who do we really proclaim to the world today? It better be Jesus, because that's what glorifies God. And so the church isn't even, it's not even about the Bridgeton Baptist Church, even though that's the name on the marquee. It's not about us. But we better realize that it's not about this building. It's about the one whom we proclaim. Number three, I believe God is glorified when the body of believers are in one mind, one heart, one faith, one baptism. And so when we look here at 15, if you go back to Romans 15, and you look at verse 5 and 6, you see, being of one mind glorifies God. Being of the mindset, and I think we all are here, being of one mind before God. What's that mean? It means we're all heading in the same direction, and we know it. When the rapture happens, as Rhonda's song happens, we're going to be there, aren't we? It's going to be our name that's called. It's going to be our church family that goes. Because why? We believe it. We believe it with all our hearts and minds. And we have one mindset for that. We know it's true. And we know it's going to happen. In John chapter 17, which is the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says these words to his Father as he was heading to the Garden of Gethsemane. He says these words. He says, neither pray I for those alone. In other words, his disciples. He says, Father, I'm not praying for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And that is us. We believe in Jesus Christ because of what the apostles said about Jesus, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You see, the world loves when churches have disagreements and fights and splits and all. Satan loves that. And the world loves that. The world makes fun of the church. The world hates the church of Jesus Christ. And don't think for a second that it's going to get any better. But when the church is one mind, one heart, one will, and that will is focused on Jesus Christ, this world cannot withstand the church. We find that the church before it, the gates of hell shall not prevail before it. Maybe the most dishonoring thing that the body of Christ can do is to be at odds with one another in the church, to be at odds with one another. Now, we respect one another, don't we? We praise one another. We ought to build one another up. Take your Bible real quick, and I want you to go to the book of Ephesians. Turn to the right, to the book of Ephesians, and look at chapter number 4. I told you I was going to have you moving around in your Bible. But Ephesians chapter 4, and I want you to look at verse number 11. Ephesians 4, verse number 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. You see, we're not all alike.
Some of us have spiritual gifts that others of us don't have. Okay? But why? Notice verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man or complete, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're to build one another up. We are to use those spiritual gifts that Christ has given us through the Holy Spirit till we all come till the unity of faith, and until we all one day come into the knowledge and will be like Jesus himself. Number four, I believe God is glorified when the church models the scriptures. Models the scriptures. We find the New Testament church being born on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And we find that church, they not only believed, but they also lived right. They lived right because they lived the right way the Holy Spirit of God impressed upon them to live. We're told in the book of James, the first chapter, verse 22, we're told to be doers of the word and not hearers only. The amazing thing about that first New Testament church, they were all, the scripture says, they were all in one accord, in one mind. And the thing that we see there is that they added to the church daily such as should be saved. On the day of Pentecost, they added 3,000 souls on that day when Peter was preaching. And not too long after that, they added 5,000 in one act, 5,000. The Holy Spirit of God moved in their lives. And I believe today, if the church today started modeling what the scripture says about that early first century church, I believe we'd see power again in churches. I think we would see healing again like never before. I believe today we would see a leadership change in countries if we model that New Testament church. Did the world hate that church? Yes. They lost their jobs, they lost their homes, they lost their incomes, they became destitute and poor, but praise God, that's what they did. And the scripture says, and they turned the whole world upside down for Jesus Christ. We don't see too much impact today in churches. We don't see too much impact on the world today of churches. Why? Why? Because we today in the church aren't too much different than the people that are in the world. There's not a whole lot of difference. I use this, I don't know, but it's true, but I could probably say that it's true. This past week, I think the casino opened up in Terre Haute, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know when it opened up or anything about it. But I would venture to say that not everyone that walked into that casino was lost. I bet you there were Christians that went in. Why? Because so many times we as Christians act just like the world. There's not much difference today in the world than in the church. Number five, God is glorified when the Holy Spirit is in control, not only of our personal lives, but in control of the church. We find in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, we're told to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making praise to the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do.
You see, the church today exists because we're to give glory to God. It's going to happen one of these days that God's going to say, go get your bride, just like Rhonda's song says. Go get your bride. And the amazing thing is, there's going to be many people who are sitting in churches today, sitting in churches this very single day, that will still be left behind because they do not know the power of God in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And so when we look at this, we glorify God when the Spirit of God turns the light on in our lives. And I've used this before, but there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 6. Wow, that's my favorite verse. God has turned the light on in my life. And I keep that verse in my mind a lot. And so we glorify God when we're filled with the great commission to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. You know, it's not easy. It's not easy to go into the world and preach and teach and to reach people for Christ. We're living in a day and age. Hey, some of you that are still in school, hey, it's not easy to be a Christian in high school, is it? Or in any school. It's not easy. I know I was a preacher's kid, and I was an ornery preacher's kid as I grew up, and my mom and dad were Christians, and I was a Christian. I was saved when I was 8, but boy, when I became a teenager, you know what? I didn't want to be seen with my mom and dad. You know why? Everybody I knew knew my mom and dad were, he was a preacher and I was a preacher's kid, but boy, you know the old statement that preacher's kids are the worst kind? It's true. It's true. Now, I can't really complain too much about my kids, but boy, I can say this personal experience. I was a bad kid. I was a real bad kid. How many of you in here were really bad kids growing up? Yeah. Some of you are lying. Some of you think you're really good. But the Great Commission, through the power of the Holy Spirit, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. It's difficult when your boss is not a Christian and you're a Christian. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. I had a boss at Lilly who wasn't a Christian. He didn't like me very much because I was one. But I remember one day he came to me. I was working on a job and I was by myself outward. And I saw him come driving up in his truck, and he gets out and comes over to me. He said, "Hey, I got a question for you." I said, "Sure, sure. What do you need?" He says, "Well, me and my girlfriend are going to get married, and I just wonder if you'd marry us." I looked at him and I said, "No." "Well, why not?" I said, "Because you don't believe what I believe in Jesus Christ." He said, "What do you mean by that?" I said, "Because you don't care anything about Jesus Christ." Well, that didn't go over real well. But he didn't fire me or anything like that. But Lily, I guess it wasn't his job. But anyway. But you know, sometimes it's difficult as we go through school, we go through our jobs, we go through life. And we come across people that are our friends. Friends, how do you
get across to your friend that one of these days they're going to give an account of their life. It comes through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And you know, when we stand up for Christ, I believe that glorifies God. In fact, I know it does. The last one is, God's glorified when the church preaches the right message. We as a church ought to glorify God in the very message in which we preach. We just celebrated, as I mentioned, Resurrection Sunday. What did we celebrate really about it? We celebrated that Jesus died. He died. He came into the world to die, didn't he? And he died. His blood was shed. He was crucified, just like the scripture said he would be. And everything about the scripture is fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. He came into the world to die, and die he did. And he was buried. Buried in a borrowed tomb, but buried. But the scripture was also fulfilled because it said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, that's what Jesus was going to be in the heart of the earth. And that's exactly what happened. A fulfillment of scripture. And we believe that. That's what we celebrate, is his death and his burial and his resurrection. He came out of the tomb alive. And that's the message of our church. And we believe that, don't we? Well, that's pretty weak. What do you believe? Don't we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Amen. We believe that. Isn't that what we proclaim to the world? Isn't that the bottom line? Isn't that the foundation of the church? It is, but that's not all, is it? We proclaim his coming again, because that's what the scripture says. And I believe that's the right message. I believe the church ought to preach about sin. You don't hear too much about sin anymore. We very seldom in churches preach about repentance. To turn around our lives and to go the other way. Sin separates. We're sinners, amen? No, that's weak too. How many of you are sinners? Six. Sinners, we're sinners. The only difference between us and the world is if we proclaim Christ, we're born again. Born from above. And that's the message that we have. We preach about sin. We ought to do something about sin. If we proclaim our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe that's the message of our church. We preach that salvation is by grace through faith. By grace. You and I are saved not because of us. We're saved because God said, I'm going to save you. And I won't get into election, but God said, save to me, and I believed it. Now, God knew before the foundation of the world that he was going to save me. He'd already determined that. But one day I had to believe it, and I had to accept him. And that's the message. And we need to preach the sovereignty of God. God's in control of all things. You believe God's in control of your life? He's very much in control of all of our lives. Oh, I don't. And I'm sure some of you in here don't like what's happening in your life, but it's true. God says, hey, I'm still in control. By me, all things consist. They're held together. But I'm glad no matter what I go through in this life, my life before him will never change. Never change. Once he put his seal of the Holy Spirit in my life, that is the down payment of one day I will be with him forever and ever. The Holy Spirit is the earnest of my salvation. And praise God, God did that. Let's stand this morning. The church's responsibility is to glorify God. That's our purpose. And we glorify him through our bodies, how we live, how we act, where we go, what we say. And we have that responsibility. We behave by what we believe. And we act on it. Now, I don't know your personal lives. I can say that. I know some of you, yeah. But I don't know all of you. But I just want to say this. I hope every single one in this room can say, I'm born again by the power of God. I know that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Can you say that?
Yes.
If you can't say that, then you better do something about it. Because that's the primary focus of preaching, of churches, to proclaim the very worth of Jesus Christ in our lives. Because he lives, we live. We live. And not only live, but live forever and ever and ever. I hope you believe that, because it's true. It's true. And our purpose is to glorify God in the truth of what we know the scriptures say. We know the scriptures are true, don't we? They're true. Every word is true. Even the front cover, Holy Bible, it's true. And we believe it. And so we glorify God in our church. And our church glorifies God in the people that we have in the church. That Christ is the preeminent one. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that we can glorify you in our lives and in how we operate in this world. That Christ is the preeminent one. He's in charge. He's God and he's faithful and just. And we thank you, Lord, today that we have the purpose of sharing that to the world. We have that responsibility. And we thank you that salvation is by grace through faith. Your word says that there's no other way. It requires faith, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so, Father, we thank you today that you give us that faith also to believe. And so, Father, I pray today in this room. I pray if there's an individual in this place that can't say, I know I'm a Christian, that they would want to desire, have the desire to want to know. Lord, give them the courage to be that individual and say, I want to know for sure if I'm saved. Because it's important. Because as Rhonda's song said, one of these days, King Jesus is going to come for his bride, the church. And what a glorious day that'll be. Father, dismiss us. We thank you that Jesus Christ is the preeminent one in our church. And we thank you in his holy name. Amen. Amen. Shake hands, please, before you leave.